I'm going to jump in the middle this morning. Or a bit into it. You know what we've been doing in the last few weeks? And I'm just going to go in now. We've been looking at the five senses. You may not have realized that, but we've covered three senses. Yeah. And I want to go in this morning, and I want to look at smell. Think, that's a, is that the wrong way? Should it be fragrance or odor? But it's a sense of smell, isn't it? Let's get real, a spade's a spade. Yeah. Does God smell? Yes, you could take that two ways, couldn't you? Does God smell? But when we look in Genesis and in chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, I'll go back to 20. Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every ceremonially clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, a soothing, satisfying scent. And the Lord said to him, I will never again curse the ground because of man. It's wickedness God had caused, but he brought the flood, and then we got Noah, after coming out of the flood and saying, thank you, Lord, he offers sacrifice. And the smell, the pleasing aroma, rose up to God. If we go back a little bit further into Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being, an individual, complete in body and in spirit. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life, the spirit of Almighty God, breathed into his nostrils. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. I've just read this, I don't know, because my grammar isn't this brilliant. It's a feminine noun coming from the root verb. Okay, if you understand that, you're better than me, but never mind. Ruach is the feminine noun coming from the root word, ruach. Spelled exactly the same, pronounced the same. But the root verb means to smell and to perceive odor. So God's spirit, ruach, was breathed into man, into his nostrils, ruach, so man could smell and perceive odor. Do you understand that? You follow that? Yes. You can't see a smell, can you? You can't hear a smell. It just drifts in. Sometimes you can taste and smell. So we've got overlap of the senses. You can see and you can hear. You can see and you can smell. But sometimes, as with acrid smoke, you can see, you can smell, and you can taste. One sense in isolation is good, but often they work in conjunction with each other. In Leviticus, we see about the offerings that were offered up by fire. And they were God calls them a sweet and soothing aroma to the Lord. That's what he got them to pen in scripture. And God likes the smell of our offerings. The Old Testament offerings were burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. Again, five different types, five different senses, five different types of offering for different circumstances. In Exodus, we're told that they were given instructions to make a special incense. And this incense was only to be used and burnt in the temple where the presence of God was. You hadn't to make it and burn it anywhere else. And it had a very distinct smell. And you could tell who had been in the temple because the presence, the fragrance of the incense would hang in your clothes and in your hair. However, when we look in Isaiah 65, and it's talking about the righteous judgment of God. The righteousness of God's judgment, sorry. And God's talking about, I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that's not good according to their own thoughts. And from what I heard earlier on this morning, some people need to be thinking about that. Not in the congregation, beg your pardon. It's just something Janet said that they'd heard, that a bishop or someone has made a rather foul comment. You know, according to the people walk in their own way, according to their own thoughts. The people continually provoke me and anger me continually to my face, who sacrifice to the in gardens and burn incense and altars of brick. They were suited to be in stone. Yeah. Who eats swine's flesh. Remember, it was an abomination for the Jews or the Israelites to eat pigs. Yeah. Who say, keep to yourselves, do not come near me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nostrils. God tells us about the proud, the self-righteous, the people who claim false holiness, the smoke in his nostrils, offensive smoke. And he goes on in verse 7 to say, even though they're burning incense, it's offensive because I know what heart they've got as they're burning that incense. And to sacrifice, to make fragrant offerings to God was something and way of life in those days. And they reckon around Jesus' time, the Roman Empire imported 10,000 camel loads. How much is 10,000 camel loads? Anybody got a guess? Well, it's approximately 1,700 tons of frankincense in a year. That's a lot of smoke. That's the Old Testament, though. We're under the New Covenant. Jesus paid the price for our sins, which is what we've been celebrating as we've been partaking of communion. His sacrifice, once and for all, one sacrifice that pleased God, that took away remission for all of our sins. So we didn't need to do the sacrificial offerings that were put there. You know, in Ephesians 5, when I get the right one. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. God, Paul to the Ephesians there, is telling us how to be and why. We've got to be Christ-like, to walk continually in love, value one another, practice empathy, compassion, unselfishness, unselfishly seeking the best for others. Now, we could say, gosh, that's hard. How can we possibly manage to do that? But when we looked at Ephesians 1, Paul was asking that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened that we may know the hope to which we are called, the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The working of the almighty power of God is working in us and through us. We've got to get hold of that, folks. More and more, the reality that God says, I want my power to flow through you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit is on you. The power of God is within you. And that power of God is to heal, to deliver, to speak words of wisdom, and all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can help other people, so we can build other people up, so we can advance the kingdom. It's not because we've done something good. Jesus did it. And we've been blessed and honored and privileged to be given these gifts to go forward. But God wants us to say, look, get hold of that. My power, get hold of it, and you can. If I ask you to do it, you can do it. Paul goes even further. We're not sacrificing animals to give aroma to God. Through Christ, Christ in us, we are the aroma. 2 Corinthians 2. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere. Did you get that? Through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. I was just talking with George before, and he said he did something in a coffee shop to a lady who was serving him, and she burst and smile and actually started singing with him. The presence of God he was carrying. And I think that's for each one of us, to recognize that we are carrying the presence of God, that we are the sweet aroma. You might say, well, I've got a nice perfume or aftershave on, but that's not what they're smelling. It's the presence of God that they're getting hold of. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ. That's what the word tells us. Don't doubt it. Accept it. We are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which ascends to God, discernible both among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. That's everybody. Everybody can smell God, or the fragrance of God. We are the fragrance. Let's really get hold of it. Just as in the Old Testament times, I said you could smell anybody who had been in the temple. They were carrying the smell of God. We are the same. We carry an aroma that's pleasing to God. What we do, how we are, how we react, how we speak, gives off an aroma, a fragrance to God. Everything has a smell. Our senses need to be more greatly sensitized, or increased sensitivity, whichever way you want to put it. Look at the dogs. We've got to get a dog in somewhere, haven't we? I mean, let Eileen's dog feel company as well. You know, look at the dogs. What can they smell? I know Millie can suss out when anybody's carrying a treat in their pocket. She's straight there. To the right or the left, she knows exactly which pocket the treat's in. No kidding her. Yeah. They're used. Who's carrying drugs? Yeah. Even more, when they can tell when a diabetic he's going to have a fit. Or, sorry, what he's going to go into, you know, hypo, thank you. But also, for an epileptic, they can smell when an epileptic's going to get a fit. They can smell now when somebody's got cancer. Yeah, they can just go. What a sensitive nose they've got. Now, I don't know whether that's a blessing or that it's that sensitive, but we need to get our noses sensitized in a greater measure. Our actions give off an aroma to God. What does he like? Psalm 51, verse 17. My only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. Humility and repentance, God loves that. Just as in the Old Testament sacrifice, sin offerings, if they were offered and then the person changed their life round, it was pleasing to God. It was a pleasing aroma. And likewise for us, if we humble ourselves and repent. What else pleases God? The aroma of love. Does love smell? Well, the sea can smell fear. So why not love? It just, have we not attuned our sense organs to the smell of love? Do we appreciate? Do we recognize acts of love? They're many and varied. It can be the simplest things. It can be the most complex thing. But it's still acts of love. As we give of ourselves, of our time, our resources, that's love. God sees and smells that offering. What else does God love? When we're witnessing. Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You've done it once, Lord. Do it again, please. This is our experience that we're sharing with you. Listen and believe me. I'm not lying. You know, when we're witnessing, when we're saying how good our God is, God loves that. Because we're saying, hey, my dad's good. Second Corinthians 2:15 and 16, I'm going back to that. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which ascends to God. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter one, an aroma from death to death, a fatal, offensive odor. But to the other, an aroma from life to life, a vital fragrance, living and fresh. We are to spread, to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge. In every place we go, when we walk into a room, we should be carrying the presence and the aroma. But when we walk into the room, what do we sense? What do we smell? What about the atmosphere? Is there friction? Is there something untoward going on? We should be sensing, we should be smelling, picking it up. The fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved, it says. Not just the saved, but all those who are in the process being saved. Because we know it's a journey, don't we? I think, I can certainly look back in my own life. It was a step by step by step before there was, yes, I'm going to make that decision. And the process of being saved. So God knows exactly who is being saved. And the fragrance that we carry when we speak to Jesus. You know what it's like when you're testifying to somebody? When you start talking, you look at the eyes. Does the shutter go up? Or is there, yes, I'm still open for it. Yeah, I'm going to hear what you're saying. Yeah. But for those who it's definite no-go, it tells us it's the smell of death. They don't like it. And I'm sure we've all been in situations where people have just taken one look at you and walked away. That's not personal. That's spiritual. When they can smell that you're carrying the presence of God. They want to be away from you. So don't take it as an offense. In fact, it's a blessing. Yeah, got your carrying it there. I'm just going to read it out of the Living Translation. But thanks be to God who made us his captives and leads us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now, wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the good news like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a fragrant presence by Christ to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those being saved and by those perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a fearful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like those hucksters, and there are many of them who preach just to make money. We preach God's message with sincerity and with Christ's authority. And we know that the God who sent us is watching us. Back to the other sense of God's watching. Yeah? But it just puts it there a little bit clearer in a more modern language, isn't it? Yeah? What else pleases God? In Revelation 5, we see golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, the dictionary puts it, prayer, communication with God. Because God is personal, all people can offer prayers. However, sinners who have not trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation remain alienated from God. So while unbelievers may pray, they do not have the basis for a rewarding fellowship with God. They've not met the conditions laid down in the Bible for effectiveness for prayer. So we've got several different types of prayer. The prayer of faith. The prayer of worship. The prayer of confession. The prayer of adoration. The prayer of praise. The prayer of thanksgiving. The prayer which we're requesting things. The prayer of effectiveness. The fervent and righteous prayer of effective man, isn't it? Achieveth much. We could also add forgiveness, wisdom, salvation. What can we smell? Do we need to be asking the Lord to develop our sense of smell in the natural, but even more so in the spiritual? Wake up, smell the roses, the fragrance of God. God wants to bring things in. How many times have we been in meetings where there's a smell of flowers? Or at times there's a smell of smoke? Or different smells? Different fragrances that God can just waft into a room whenever he pleases. Say, look, I'm here. I smell, I'm here. as we're thinking on the good things, on the positive things, in the spirit realm, we need to be able to discern the demonic, the demon smell, putrid smell. We need to smell death. We need to be smelling fear. God has made us complete, but perhaps we haven't exercised the things that he's blessed us with. Or put it another way, some of those gifts he's given us are still wrapped on the shelf. And we need to take them down, open them up, and start using them. He didn't give us gifts to say, look what I've got, and have it really like a library. He gave us gifts to use. He's blessed us with so many things. So, Father, we want to be a fragrant offering to you. We want to be diffusing your fragrance wherever we go. Help us to follow your steps of guidance and increase our senses in the spirit realm as well as the natural, so we're better equipped to recognize the enemy as well as appreciate what you're doing and your blessings. Don't allow us to miss out on either, Father, we ask in Jesus' name.